Welcome to episode 113 of the Fertility Podcast, and I'm putting this out mid-December 2017. If you're listening to this in the future, then just ignore what I'm about to say. I'm Natalie, your host, and this podcast is for you if you found that basically starting a family or completing a family isn't going to be as straightforward as you'd hoped. And the aim of the podcast is to be supportive to you, to be a companion through whatever you're going through. And the reason that I mentioned the time of year is because we were told that we needed to have fertility treatment on December the 23rd, 2014. And we were told in such a rubbish way, it ruined our Christmas. And I've talked about this before on the podcast, but the reason I'm saying it now is that if you have just recently found out that your journey to parenthood isn't going to be as you'd planned, then just know you're not alone. And if possible, don't let it ruin this kind of holiday season, if that's when you're listening to this podcast. Because I remember so vividly my other half and I being really upset and kind of staying away from everybody. And whilst I know you probably will want to do that and you're perfectly entitled to, it's also quite nice to have the people that matter close to you. It doesn't mean you have to tell them what's going on, but just don't completely isolate yourself if possible. Now, I'm no expert in the fertility world. I'm just talking to you as someone who has been through it. And that is the reason that I do my podcast. And my next guest is a lovely lady who's an acupuncturist. And I had acupuncture during my treatment, as I'll be talking. And I've talked recently to a number of ladies sharing their stories who have also started to have acupuncture, having had several failed cycles and decided to now factor this into their treatment. And if you're in a place where you are thinking about other ways to boost your fertility, if you're interested in understanding more about how it can help you, you're going to really love this next chat. And it's really important to, I suppose, be clear that this isn't just like a quick thing. It is a process. It's part of the process. So sit back, relax, grab a cuppa if you're not on the move. If you're on the move, I do hope you find this interesting, and all the details of everything you need will be at the end of the episode, as well as how you can get in touch with me. So I'm now going to welcome Narva Carman to the podcast. Narva is an experienced fertility, gynecological and obstetric acupuncturist and herbalist. And we're going to talk all about the different ways in which she works with people. Her company is Fertility Support. And I'm going to welcome Narva now to the podcast. Hello.
G'day. Thanks for having me.
I hadn't actually realised initially when we started chatting that you were Australian. How long have you been in the UK? Because you've not got that strong an accent.
No, really, really a long time, 25 years. And when I go, what I still consider, I go home, they say, what part of England are you from? But I feel Australian and I still have that kind of sensibility about me. Like I chat to English people and they just look alarmed. So I like to say g'day because it just sort of like, that's who I am.
Yeah, yeah, why not? Now let's talk about your work, because you've been practicing acupuncture for over 20 years, trained in the UK. And I'm interested in kind of your feelings about the perception of acupuncture in the fertility world, because I had acupuncture during my treatment and I talk about it a lot with different people who are going through cycles. So first of all, just talk to me a bit about your training and where you feel acupuncture is viewed currently.
So I trained many years ago at a college that actually isn't in existence anymore in London. And when I was training, when I graduated, acupuncture was still very much the alternative. I think at the time I graduated, I was the youngest acupuncturist in Britain, and that didn't help because I had a perception of my youth and lack of experience, plus a perception from the outside world that what we did was quackery. But very fortunately, that whole dialogue has changed. I know that I used to be the last port of call when it came to fertility, and now I'm almost always the first. And I think that's partly because there's groups like evidence-based acupuncture, and there are people like Professor Lee Helena Rubin, who's actually just published a paper called The Impact of Whole Systems Traditional Chinese Medicine on IVF Outcomes. And that's talking about the importance of preparation for IVF. And in fact, not just for IVF, but for any kind of conception, because ultimately, in a funny way, none of us really do fertility. We do healthy mum equals healthy baby. But the importance of tailoring the treatment to the client to get a better outcome. And even 10 years ago, I was recruited by the two doctors who run Hammersmith IVF unit to come and work in their private practice and integrate acupuncture into the IVF unit. So there was a swing happening about 10 years ago, but it's really changed now. So in my current practice, it's very rare that I don't anymore actually treat patients just coming to me for IVF support, because I just don't get the results. I only treat clients who are coming to me to give me enough time to make a change. Most of the time they conceive naturally, but if they need it, then the IVF tends to work first time.
Interesting.
So last year I did 4 IVFs, all of which were successful first time.
Amazing.
Out of, you know, I see like somewhere between 25 and 35 women a week.
Because I know from the recent conversations I've had with some women who have had failed cycles that they hadn't previously used acupuncture, and then they'd started using it and they were heading into a new cycle, having spent time on themselves through all sorts of different elements mentally, but preparing themselves. And they were both saying, it was interesting, they were both saying what a better place they were in mentally going into it. And I think that's a massive thing that you say that you do, to start quite early on with people, because I'm a big believer that your mindset does impact. So I'd be interested in your thoughts on that too.
To answer that question, I think I'd take it in two parts. I think that the way I work personally is quite technical. So I would say I would deal with the emotional side of things and the mindset in two ways. Firstly, if there's always issues around identity, who we are as women, our sexuality, our relationship with our partner, how our sex life can be affected, our experience of being fertility challenged in a world where it looks like everybody around you has children.
Mm.
And those are all things that I don't have time or expertise to hold in my practice. So I have people I refer to who I've been working with for a very long time who are really good at that. I tend to sort of outsource to that. But we, from a Chinese medicine point of view, see the emotion and the spirit as just part of the qi picture. So I do treat it from that point of view, because what I do see is when I'm working, most of my stuff is complex autoimmune conditions like PCOS or endometriosis, recurrent miscarriage, unexplained infertility, you know, many failed cycles of IVF, and then they finally come to me. So a lot of my work that I see from a qi point of view, we work around Shen or spirit. And there's a massive connection between Shen and spirit and uterus. And so a lot of the time, to change an ovulatory pattern or to help someone who has PCOS, who has a really regular cycle, become regular, which allows them to conceive naturally, you are working through the Shen, the spirit and the heart, to influence the hormone. But because I work quite technically, I also want to see all your blood tests, I want to see all your scan results, I want to know as much from a Western medical point of view as possible, so I can translate that into Chinese medicine, treat, retest from a Western medical point of view and see a difference.
It's fascinating. And how many women are you seeing dealing with PCOS and endometriosis? And do you think there is enough awareness that acupuncture can be something that can be used to help when women are trying to deal with the symptoms of both of these two?
I see a lot of it, which always makes me sad, because when you're given a diagnosis of endometriosis or PCOS, it's a very negative one.
Mm.
When in fact, I always like to say to my clients that PCOS, for example, is a communication problem. It's not a structural one. It's not a mental one.
Yeah, okay.
And in fact, PCOS women are born with more primordial follicles than anyone else. They are more fertile than most women. And as their hormone levels naturally decline as they head toward menopause, they will still be more fertile than most women, because the hormones will calm down and they'll start to ovulate, and most of the later in life babies that I see arrive naturally, PCOS women. But that message isn't communicated, and really the only obstruction to conception with PCOS is usually a too late ovulation.
Hmm.
So if you look at some of the PCOS books that are out now, the A to Z of PCOS, PCOS for Dummies, most of these books most of the books I've seen, actually, I'm thinking through, they all mention acupuncture in some way. So I do think there is an increasing awareness of it, but I would like more people to know about it and then to give me the time to work in order to avoid having to go down that fertility route if they don't absolutely have to.
Because the understanding I have from the ladies that I've spoken to that have dealt with or are dealing with PCOS and endometriosis, and more recently I was talking with an Australian specialist about adenomyosis, which I'm sure you've come to, which he described as the ugly sister of endometriosis. But
yes, because it's most of the women diagnosed.
Well, exactly. And most of the women that I've spoken to have just managed this for such a long time. And surely to know that, because I felt when I was going through my treatment, the acupuncture gave me such a bit of clarity in whatever was going on, if there's all overwhelm, and as well as if you're dealing with the pain, the process of having acupuncture I found really just beneficial from the kind of space it gave me in my head. And I would have thought that when you're dealing with this, to have a bit of like half an hour period of relief almost, because I'm assuming that, I mean, I know it takes time, but I'm assuming that the benefits can be felt relatively quickly when you're dealing. Well, you tell me, how soon if somebody's dealing with PCOS and endometriosis and they're going through painful periods, especially with the endo, would you say that working with you, they'd feel the results?
I'd normally want to see a positive change within a cycle.
Right.
And I ask for 3 cycles minimum when it comes to complex autoimmune conditions, because it takes me that long to make quite a radical change often, and to pull in all sorts of other things that we need, whether it's nutrition or whether it's emotional support, to pull a package together for the client. So when they come in, for me, I think about the customer experience from a technical point of view and from a symptom relief point of view, but also, as you say, from a kind of a that emotional relief point of view. And so that for me extends to making sure that my room is warm, my bed is warm, they're comfortable, they're covered up. You know, being a patient myself, having I really believe in practicing what you preach, so I always try and make the time for treatment for myself too. And I know from having acupuncture myself how often the room is cold or how often it's not a comfortable environment. So I think it's all part of that experience. But it's not like you go away and say, I think I feel better. You want to really see a concrete change in pain and in quality of period and in cycle length. And that's how you know it's worked.
Now, I know that you work with men as well. And I'm interested the kind of ratio of women to men that you see, whether men are more reluctant.
Absolutely. I think I've had probably 2 men in the last 10 years approach me themselves, which really tells you something. The men I do see come through their wives, most often very reluctantly. I think it's very interesting because I've observed over the years when women are given a piece of challenging news, or really in some cases bad news, they swing into very practical mode. I wonder if you find this too, talking to lots of women, that they swing into practical mode and they go into problem solving and what can they do? They want to plan, they want to do stuff. And men are really struck to the core by bad news around their fertility, and they go to a very emotional, very defensive place, and sometimes it's very hard to get to them in that place.
No, I completely agree with you. And things like low sperm count, poor sperm morphology, are they things that can be helped with acupuncture? Is there some evidence with that?
There's not a lot of evidence for it. There's a little bit. There's more evidence for nutritional support for changing sperm than there is for acupuncture and herbs. But what I tend to say to my clients is that it takes 100 days for sperm to completely change. So I want to treat them for 100 days. And then I want to redo their sperm test and make sure that we're heading in the right direction. Because, again, for me, I'm not a practitioner who treats forever. I like to get the job done, which is possibly a poor business model, but it seems to work from a word of mouth point of view. But I actually want to see a concrete change. So I had a gentleman come to see me who had a secondary hypogonadotropism, and I had another gentleman come and see me whose sperm production was impaired by childhood illness. And both of them were headed for ICSI, and both of them, after working this year, we worked together, because I think what I see is I work in partnership with my clients. When we worked together, on both occasions, they were both able to have just a normal IVF cycle. They were never going to be able to conceive naturally. IVF was always going to be necessary, but there is some epigenetic implications, as I'm sure you know, for ICSI versus quite normal IVF. So taking them down from an ICSI point of view to a normal IVF was quite important, because in both those cases, there was a history of autism in the family. So coming away from ICSI, where we know that in some cases it predisposes learning difficulties in boys, was quite important for them, and we were able to do that.
The first term that you described with the man, I've not heard of that.
So it's a hormonal problem in the body. And it's sometimes primary hypogonadotropism, if I'm remembering right, is meaning that they never would have had proper sperm production. Secondary meaning there's something that got in the way of it in terms of illness that caused sperm production problems.
Okay, fascinating stuff. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about kind of working through an IVF cycle, as far as just explaining when is a good time to have acupuncture. And I know, obviously, you talk about working with people ahead of that point. But say you have been working with somebody and then they're going to go into treatment, or maybe it's somebody listening who's had failed cycles and is thinking about it, and they're embarking on another cycle. Because I'm always really keen to stress, not that it's anything to do with me, people's timelines, but I do feel, and I've had a lady say that she was kind of put into another cycle. Nobody asked if emotionally she was in the right place. And I do think I'll always try to say to people, you can say no. You can ask for it to be slowed down, to not go straight into another one, because you want to be match fit, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. I do a lot of, and in that kind of continuation of what I was saying about being in partnership with my clients, I kind of try and hold them through the entire process, which means that I don't really let go until either they want me to or they are happy postpartum. So that includes that if they have to go through an IVF cycle, I hold them through the process, meaning I want to ask them, I give them a set of questions to ask every time they have a scan. I want to know about follicle growth, endometrial thickness. Very importantly, I want to know about estrogen levels if they're having a blood taken, because acupuncture can very easily increase estrogen levels, which has massive implications for hyperstimulation, for example. I also, and so they'll feed that back to me, and sometimes I'll say, you're fine, you don't need to come in, or sometimes I'll say, yes, I think I can add value, come in today, and I'll make a time to see them. And there's been a number of studies that have been done around transfer, and I know a lot of the what's gone out into the zeitgeist, into the world, has been acupuncture. You must have it around transfer, pre and post transfer treatment. But over the years, I've come to kind of think that's not quite right and walked away from that pre and post transfer. Firstly, I don't standardize my treatments for clients because I think that doesn't serve.
Okay.
And certainly the study that's just come out bears that up, because the individualized treatment is what differentiates us and what makes us so integrative and useful as practitioners. But for me, the most important session is after egg collection. Because if you think about what happens during egg collection, you're going through an operation. And it's not talked about as such, but think about it. You know, you're having somewhere between 3 and, in my PCOS patients, sometimes like 15 follicles grow, more. And each of those follicles has to be surgically incised. You're going through a general anesthetic. You're going through memory-losing drugs as part of that procedure quite often. You're having the emotional impact of waking up and waiting to hear how many eggs have been retrieved. You've gone through an operation. And to me, it doesn't make sense that it has never made sense that we're expecting the body to have enough chi left 2 or 3 days later to implant an embryo when it's still healing. So firstly, I'm a big fan of frozen cycles. In America, you know, most of what they're doing now is frozen. They don't do fresh anymore for exactly that reason. I kind of feel like they're caught up with Chinese medicine. Just common sense. If you've had an operation, you need to recover before your womb and your body is ready to implant an embryo.
That's really interesting.
If that's not possible, then all the more reason that post egg collection treatment is so important. If I can get to my client that day and the day after, and just help them heal as quickly as possible, mentally and emotionally, then they're more ready to implant that embryo. And I will treat after transfer, but I'll also add another treatment around the implantation window, because depending, you know, we know in a natural cycle an embryo will implant 4 to 7 days after ovulation. So depending on the age of the embryo that goes back in an IVF cycle, you know, you have a little window to still influence. After that, they're welcome to come in from an emotional point of view, but the technical part of my job is done. I can't add value. But there is usually another little window where I can just give the body one last boost to try and help implantation.
It's fascinating. It really is. I want to talk a bit about other practitioners, about how people seek out a trusted practitioner, and talk a bit about where you are and how you can access you. Because I think that's part of maybe the negative side of acupuncture, is that people might not find the best qualified people.
Yeah, sadly to say, a lot of people come to me having seen practitioners for years at a time. I never, you know, actually in my practice, I am with somebody from a fertility point of view no more than 7 months, because there's some really interesting studies that were done a couple of years ago which looked at tracking hormonal responses and ultrasounds and looked at women. And it was really obvious that after 6 months' time, the efficacy of what we do declines. And that really chimes with me, because I audit my practice, I always have. And so what I see statistically in my practice is that after they've done that 3 months with me, they choose to go on and try and conceive naturally once I've kind of given them the all clear, if you like. There's a big jump up around 4 months in the conception rate. So that's sort of 7 months in total. And after that, there's a rapid decline. So I know that there's only a certain amount of time I can treat and still treat in a kind of an authentic way with integrity for my clients, that I know I can add value. And if after that 4 months nothing's happened, we will start to talk about, right, what's next. There's a line there. And I would encourage anybody who has acupuncture, firstly, to make sure that the acupuncturist is a member of the British Acupuncture Council and Register of Chinese Herbal Medicine, if they're herbalists. Or even better, they're a member of the Acupuncture Fertility Network, because at least there you know someone's registered a fertility, an interest in treating fertility. But I'm going to say something quite controversial now, which is that we have a bit of a problem in our profession, in that the British Acupuncture Council have been very reluctant to come out and make a statement about the issue of specialisation. And in practice, what that means is that the consumer is unprotected. So they can purchase, with some very basic training, the name of a very well-known acupuncturist and have some training in that. And that has value, absolutely. but it doesn't make them a specialist. What makes them a specialist is, in my opinion, time spent with clients and the amount of professional learning and development you continue to do. And I'm really involved personally and professionally in trying to raise the standards of our profession so as to protect the consumer, because I think that at the moment you, Natalie, could say, I'm an acupuncturist, we're not state regulated, you could get acupuncture insurance, and you could go ahead and say, I'm a fertility specialist. And how is the public to know?
Mm.
So one of the things that I've done is I've taught for many years, and I pulled together and wrote a diploma that I've been teaching since October, and I'm going to continue to teach until next June. And I've developed a logo that I will license to people who graduate from that. And in order to be on my diploma, they've got to be in practice for at least 5 years. And in order to stay with that logo, or to retain the use of that logo, they're going to have to demonstrate continuing professional development. So I'm really involved in trying to make sure that when the consumer sees this logo, they know that the person they're seeing has really good training. And it's a little logo that says just fertility support training. Obviously, the name of my company is Fertility Support Company.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of stuff behind the scenes to support those practitioners who are training with me. We do a lot of stuff about research and discussion about cases. And we work in an integrated way, which is also really important to my mind, that you're not just getting a traditional Chinese medicine person. You're also, in a way, getting a fertility detective. So someone who knows all about the Western side of things. For example, this week alone, and it's been a particularly bad week for it, I've diagnosed 2 cases of autoimmune thyroiditis. We did blood tests. I realized something was missing.
Right.
And it turned out that in both cases, patients had autoimmune thyroiditis. And in both cases, they'd been trying for many, 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 many years to conceive and hadn't been successful. And in one case, aged out of the IVF system, the NHS IVF system.
Right.
So we become fertility detectives, and both of them, I think, will go on to conceive, because most clients do once they've got the right diagnosis. But it takes someone like me these days, which is really a shame, to look really individually at that client, to look at all the tests that have been done, and sometimes to spot stuff that's missing, because for me, a fertility acupuncturist should be really well versed in the Western stuff as well as the Chinese medicine stuff.
Well, on your About page on your website, there's a lengthy list of your qualifications and the training that you're continuing to do to highlight what you've just said. So I think one tip to definitely make clear to everyone is to check the person, check that you can see a history of training and continued learning. I think that's really vital.
When you invest in yourself, I think it translates into what you can give your clients.
And whereabouts are you based, and how do you work with people?
I'm based in Northwest London. I have a PA who will take calls, and I have a bit of a waiting list at the moment because I only take on a certain number of clients. It's really important for me to, as I say, to hold them in that journey. And I know that as a practitioner, I can only handle a certain number of clients before my customer service suffers. And I do a lot of corresponding with my clients. I do a lot of talking to them about how they're feeling. We sometimes look at food diaries. I want to be able to be there to deal with whatever's going on. And I know that if I have too many clients, I can't remember everything. So my waiting list has sort of evolved by default, because it's a kind of one out, one in system. That's how I work.
And what about if people aren't, because this podcast goes out all over the world, if people are listening, top tips for seeking out? We talked about making sure the person's got a level of qualifications, and your diploma obviously is a new thing. So
that were just in the UK. So for America, they have ABORM, A-B-O-R-M. And I'm basically trying to do what they're doing,
right?
Because we don't have it in the UK. But you have to take an exam for ABORM. You have to, again, it's mandatory continuing professional development, really everywhere except the UK, which doesn't have it yet. And they're state regulated and licensed. They have to renew their license every year. So if you're in America, you have ABORM. And a lot of people in Canada have chosen to do the ABORM exam. I'm going to talk at the Integrated Fertility Symposium in Vancouver next year. And they're sitting ABORM exam there in Canada, so there'll be more access. In Australia, they're state licensed. So I think the real thing is, are they either voluntarily or mandatorily with a properly state licensed board? Do they display a proper fertility specialisation? And what sort of continuing professional development are they doing just in the area of CPD? And if you call them up and talk to them, you want to be able to have a conversation with them, in my opinion, that is, that talks about their knowledge from a Western point of view as well as a Chinese medicine point of view.
Fascinating stuff. And the other thing that I got from us talking was to allow time for this. It's not a quick fix. I think that's really important to get across.
It is. And I'm a doula too. I see that in, because I sometimes have the blessing of being able to be at the births of the children that we never thought would come.
Wow.
And I do a lot of preparation for birth acupuncture. From about 35 weeks, I'll come back in and do a weekly session.
Okay.
And what I know is that I can't over, there's been five women in almost 20 years that have not, no matter what I've done, have not gone into labour. And in all those cases, there's been a very good reason why. So I take from that acupuncture works to someone's highest calling in its best way. We can't override it. But for most of the women, that preparation translates into a birth that is more efficient, easier, quicker. I really see a difference, and certainly not having to be induced, which is a really important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And same for getting pregnant. Anything you can do to prepare makes the process easier and makes the pregnancy easier too. I see a really big impact in the women who don't do the prep and the struggles they have during their pregnancy, because whatever pathology is out of balance in the beginning will be out of balance through and post-pregnancy too.
Nava, it's been really interesting. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me on the show.
It's been lovely. And what I'll do is I'll put some links to your website and the different things that you've mentioned in other countries as well, so people can just refer back to that. And
fantastic.
Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
The Fertility Podcast is supported by Ovusense. If you're trying to monitor your cycle and finding it overwhelming, Ovusense is the only ovulation monitor on the market that is a Class 2 medical device. It has a vaginal sensor and app and fits like a tampon, so it's really easy to use and comfortable to wear. Now, you use it at night while you sleep, and then in the morning, you simply remove, wash it, and download your data to see your cycle pattern. Now, Ovusense has proven comfortable for women in over 10,000 cycles of use, and can predict ovulation up to a day in advance, and can confirm it with 99% accuracy. To find out more, visit ovusense.com. The Fertility Podcast is also supported by IVF Matters, the UK's first online fertility clinic, where you can order tests delivered to your door, have scans at multiple locations, and speak to consultants in the comfort of your own home. It's a truly unique way to experience your fertility journey. And you can find out more at ivfmatters.co.uk. So sound advice there as far as if you are seeking out an acupuncturist, what to look for to make sure they are properly qualified to help you on your fertility journey. And the show notes for this episode are thefertilitypodcast.com/Nava, which is NAAVA. Now, have a look around my New Look website. There's loads of episodes, over 100 episodes, dealing with infertility support, as well as male fertility issues, egg freezing, everything from if you're heading into Christmas childless. I hope that you find an episode to help. I've got a new little search bar that you could just put some words in. Do get in touch if you want to on social media. I'm at Fertility Poddy on Twitter and Instagram, and the Facebook page is just The Fertility Podcast, or you can just email me natalie@thefertilitypodcast.com. Let me know your thoughts, let me know how you are, if there's a certain area that I've not covered. I'd love to know what you're thinking, or if you just want to share your journey. And I'm going to put another episode out before Christmas, so I'm not saying goodbye to this year yet, but until the next time.